How'd everyone find the sources? They are.
I'll tell you.
Should be on the list. They are good names.
What does that mean?
See, I don't know what it means.
Well, I'm not sure off the top of my head. It is Greek, but I'm not mistaken. I'm rather sure. Yes, is it? Okay, I think it comes from the Greek, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, Shmaya v'Avtalion Kibla Mehem. Shmaya Omer, Ehov et Hamlacha, Usneat Rabbanut. V'altit Vadal Rashut. Okay, I'm going to leave off the Rashut part because that, we need like a whole long discussion of that one word. It's fascinating, but it's not for this moment. I'm not going to get into it. But the first part of what they say is, well, it starts with Shmaya and Avtalion, who are the Rebbeim of Hillel, the office. Okay? So, in other words, you should be more concerned about, you know, what we should focus on in life is what we accomplish, what we do, and not the position and the spotlight and the authority and that type of thing. Okay? That's what we have over here. And the truth of the matter is that this idea of Shmaya and Avtalion, Shmaya here, is very, very appropriate, as we always have in Masechet Avot. I think I've mentioned before that throughout Masechet Avot, right, the Rashbam talks about the idea already, that throughout Masechet Avot, every single person, every Tana that's mentioned in Masechet Avot, what they say is a reflection of their life, a reflection of their character, their personality. It's not Stam that they said. You have a halacha in Masechet Shabbos that Rabbi Meir says this. It's not a reflection of who he personally was. It's his understanding of Torah, period. But the statements in Masechet Avot are different, right? We saw Shmuel HaKatan, right? And so on and so forth. Okay, we spend a very long time on that. We're not going to do that. But just, we should keep that in mind because it's relevant to what we're going to see over here. It's really actually very beautiful. Okay, let's put that on the back burner for a few moments and go to the next two sources. The Gemara in Brachot and Samach Gimel and the Mishnah in Avot in Perek Bet. What's the relationship between these two? Between Ba'atar Delet Gvar, Taman Heve Gvar, right, the statement of Bar Kapara on the one hand, and the statement of the Mishnah, of Hillel specifically, that v'makom she'ein anashim hishtadel liyoz ish. What's the relationship between those two statements?
Maybe like in the absence of, like, when there's someone that's not there, like, you should try to be the person there.
So how do these two statements relate? Gemara Brachot, Mishnah Avot. What's the relationship between them?
Well, they're opposites.
They're opposites.
Well, one each other in.
Okay.
Anashim and
Gemara. Okay. It is different. Okay, so
like if you're in a certain position of kavod, then don't take advantage of that kavod. If no one's in that position and you're below, don't think that like you can't grab the kavod for the sake of like the claw.
Okay, so let's take a look and see them carefully. Okay, and so I mentioned the difference between gvar and anashim, very important. We'll see. The Marsha actually asks on this gemara, what's going on? Why is Bar Kapara just quoting this mishnah in translation? And what we need to note is that there are a few important differences, okay? Difference number one, although they're very similar, difference number one is the difference I was pointing out between anashim, right, and gvar. Gvar would translate as ish, not anashim, okay? And there's another difference. What's the other important difference here between what and what? I'm sure you've heard this one a million times. The difference between Hishtadel Liyot and Heve, right? Isn't that different? Right? I'm sure it wasn't said to you, but I'm sure you've heard someone say to someone, some parent or some child or whatever, or some boss, employee, whatever it is, don't try to do it, do it. You hear that?
Yeah.
It's not so common expression, right? So we know the difference between trying to do something and there's a difference between saying Hevei Gevar and saying Hishtadel Liotish. So the simple pshat and the difference between the two, I think one could suggest the following idea, that Ba'atar Delet Gevar, Taman Hevei Gevar, And ba'atar de'it gevar, taman lo teve gevar, is talking about a particular position. It's saying, and this is some shot in the Gemara, that we're talking about, and the reason it's in the singular is because we're talking about a particular job to be filled. Someone needs to be the X, whatever it is, right? Some public role, some office, whatever it is. So Bar Kappara says, you have to ask yourself, is this something where I'm the best person available, where there's no one else who could do it, right? Then I should do it. And if not, why? It goes back to this idea of Ehov et Hamlacha Usneat Rabbanut, right? If the issue is that it is about public service, so you want to help others, you want to contribute, so then you have to look at whether you know you're needed or not. And that's why the Gemara in Brachot Olam Dalem and Aleph says that Tana Rabbanan Haver Lufnei Tevat Sarich L'Sarev, if the Gabbai comes over and he asks you to be the Shliach Tzibur, so the first time around you're supposed to say no. V'meino Misarev Domelo Tavshil Shein Bo Melech. If you don't refuse, it's like a dish that's unsalted. V'im Misarev Yoter Midai, but if a person refuses too much, Domelo Tavshil Shechdichat Melech. It's like having an oversalted dish, right? Ketzad Hu Oseh, so what are you supposed to do? Par Mishona Yisarev. Initially you say no. Shnia, they ask you again, Mehavhev. So then, you know, you say, well, maybe. The third time, Arei Shlishi Poshet Reglav Yoreh. Meaning that the attitude has to be, I'm not looking to be the one. You know, over the years, you see certain individuals who like, wow, they run to go to be the Shliach Tzibur because they want to be in the spotlight. They want to, you know, they think that, I don't know, it's very clearly about them. There are other people who, they'll be the Shliach Tzibur if Tzibur really needs them to do it. So as a public service, they'll do it. I mean, the guy comes over and says, no, we really need you to do it. You know, but the first time they'll say no, because it's not that they're eager to do it, not that they want to be the one. And that's really this idea of Ehov et Hamlacha, Usneat HaRabbanut. Right? That's Bar Kappara. The mission of the Makom She'ein Anashim, Hishtadel Liot Ish, is not talking about a position, and that's why it says Anashim and not Ish. And why it says Hishtadel, it's saying, if you're in a place, if you're in an environment, right, you're in a community or an environment where people aren't acting properly, there are no mention around, so you should try your best to be a proper person, even if everyone around you isn't, right? So that's why, number one, it says, Makom She'ein Anashim, we're not talking about a position, we're not talking about where there's one person, whether it's going to be you or someone else, it's talking about that there's a lack of people acting, you know, as people, and so you should try your best to do the right thing, even if everyone around you isn't. In any case, the part that's directly relevant to us and our topic is in the Mishnah in Avot is the statement of Bar Kappara. Okay, now let's move down a little bit, and we're going to come back. Please make sure I come back to Yom HaDaf Ayin Aleph. I'm in bed. It's a fascinating story, but before we do that, let's take a look at the Hakdama to Yad HaChazaka. Okay, the bottom of the page. The Rambam mentions in his Akdam Tiyara Chazaka, it goes through the whole chain of the Masara, and by Masara goes from one to the other. And he says the next generation is Shmaya Avtalion, Gerei Tzedek, Pei Ubeitinam. So Shmaya and Avtalion, who were Gerim, and their Bezdin, Kiblu Yehuda Bishimon Ubeitinam, right? This is the next generation. And Hillel v'Shamayu Beit Dinam, Hillel and Shammai and their Bezdin, meaning their colleagues, their contemporaries, Kiblu Mishmaya v'Avtalion Beit Dinam. Okay? That's what the Rambam is describing, the chain, and he, of course, one of the links in that chain is basically the Mishnah in Avot Shmaya v'Avtalion Kiblu Mehem, right? So we have Shmaya v'Avtalion, who were Gerei Tzedek, they were the next link here. Fine. The Bar Tanura, the basic mefaresh on Mishnayot, like the way that you know Rashi is on Gemara, right? The basic mefaresh on Mishnah, Rav Avadya Bar Tanura, very important farsh. And he says, explain the Mishnah. This is not a chiddush, just one place where we can see it. Yossi ben Yoezer ish tzreda, Yossi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim, comments the Bar Tanura, right? That was a quote from the Mishnah. Kol hatanaim hanizkarim beperek zeh, all of these tanaim in the first perek of Avot, zug zug, right, who are mentioned as pairs, ploni uploni kiblu miploni uploni, harishon mehem nasi, vasheni abetin, right? In each case, the first one was the nasi, and the second one was the abetin. So, Shmaya was the nasi, right? And Avtalion was the abetin, right? That's what the bartender is telling us. Again, not his chiddush, but I'm just saying that's what we know from here. So we see that Shmaya and Avtalion were respectively the Nasi and the Av Betin. Good? It's good? Why not? Yeah, the Rambam says in Hilchot Malachim, right? The same Rambam who told us in his Akdamah to Yad HaChazaka that Shmaya v'Avtalion Gerei Tzedek says in Hilchot Malachim in Perek Al Halacha Dalet Eim Amidim Melech Mikal Gerim Afilu Achar Kama Dorot Ad Shetehe Imo Miyisrael Shenemar Lo Tuchal Latet Alecha Ish Nachri Asher Lo Achichahu V'lo Lemalchu Bilvad Elechol Sraot Shem Yisrael. And he goes through a whole list, and then he says the Ein Tzarech Lomar, the next last line, the Ein Tzarech Lomar, Dayan Onasi, Shelo Yehei Elam Yisrael, Shenemar Mikarev Achecha, Tasim Alecha Melech, Kol Mesimot Shata Mesim, Lo Yehu Elam Mikarev Achecha. So I don't understand. You can't have a Nasi or a Dayan who is a Ger, but what about Shmaya and Avtalion? Shmaya was the Nasi, and Avtalion wasn't Stama Dayan, he was the Av Beis Din, right? So, what's the Rambam talking about? That's a pretty glaring, pretty obvious problem here. In some place, something's wrong someplace, right? It just doesn't all fit together. So the answer, not my answer, not original answer, but the answer that is given, and standard answer as far as I know, is the following. That we find in many cases, there's this idea appears in Tosfot and Baal Kama and elsewhere, Sanhedrin, we have the idea that that this halacha, the Rambam Tzabban Hilchot Malachim, is talking about where the authority derives from the position, derives from the office. That a person is, however, elected, appointed, this, that, or the other, and their authority, people listen to them because they have that position, and therefore they are able to force people to listen to them. However, in the there are cases where the person is uniquely qualified, where the person is clearly the person for the job, and therefore people simply relate to them in that way. They simply function in that way. Distinction will between a kind of a position that's de jure versus one that's de facto. Shmaya and Avtalion were the Gdolei Hador, and they function as the Nasi and the Avbezin. It wasn't because, you know, like said, I'm the Nasi, you've got to listen to me, I'm the Avbezin, so you have to accept what I'm saying. People turned to them because they were the best men for the job. And there was just no other way of, there's no one else. And therefore, there's no issue of Eim Ma'amidim or Srarot or Lo Tuchal Latet Alecha. No question of Latet Alecha. It's a question of accepting them for who they are and what they are. Otherwise, it's impossible to understand what the story is with Shmaya and Avtalion. This doesn't make any sense. And if that's the case, look how beautiful the Mishnah Avot is. What is Shmaya and Avtalion? What's Shmaya's motto, right? Eho, what? Exactly. Ehovet hamlacha usneat rabbanut. What are they saying? The car is not the office. It's not the position. It's not the title or the or the official position. The important is the job that you're doing. The important thing is who you are and what you're accomplishing. And Shmaya and Avtalion, in an official command, they really weren't the Nasi and the Avezdin in the sense that they were appointed or elected, or, but in a much more real sense, they were the Avezdin and the Nasi, right? In a much more innate sense, they were the Avezdin and the Nasi. If you look in the Gemara in Yuma, you have a fascinating corollary to this. It says the following, Tana Rabbana, right? Yoma Ayin Aleph Mevet. There was a certain Kohen Gadol, Sheyatzah Mibeit HaMikdash, and he was leaving from the Beit HaMikdash. Vahavu az lei kulei alma batrei. Kohen Gadol is a very, you know, prestigious office, and the people, stan people, were walking, you know, were following him and accompanying him out of the Beit HaMikdash. Kevan dechaz yunhu le Shmaya Vavtalion. When the people saw Shmaya Vavtalion, Shavku l'didei, so they abandoned this Kohen Gadol, v'azle bato Shmaya Vavtalion, and they started to follow Shmaya Vavtalion with the Gedolei Ador, right? So until then, they were following the Kohen Gadol because he's, you know, a very important person, of course, but now they saw Shmaya Vavtalion, who were, gosh, they were the Gedolei Ador, so they started to follow Shmaya Vavtalion. This is what happens now. But, l'sof, in the end, Atu Shmaya Vavtalion lifture minei de Kohen Gadol. So Shmaya Vavtalion, even though they were the Gedolei Ador, they were acting respectfully to the Kohen Gadol, and they went over to the Kohen Gadol, and they went to, like, to take leave of him, right? Lifture minei, to in a very respectful way to say goodbye, to take their leave of him. Amar lehen. So the Kohen Gadol, who had been, you know, had been slighted. Not because Shmaya Vavtalion did anything, but he felt that Shmaya Vavtalion had stole his thunder. So he said to them, "Yaitun b'nei amimin lishlam." Okay, so the b'nei amimin, the children of the other nations, should return home in peace. Okay, which was, you know, on the one hand he was saying, you know, go in peace, but on the other hand, obviously he was saying this to say, oh, you guys are, you know, come from non-Jews, you're a Gerim, and he was saying this, you know, as trying to slight them, trying to get back at them for the fact that, you know, the people had followed them instead of him. Now, of course, that was a terrible thing to say. It's totally inappropriate. So what happened? Amrulei, so Shmaya and Avtalion responded, and they gave him musa for what he said. He said, Yaitun b'nei amimim lishlam. They said, right, the children of the nation should return in peace. Da'avdin uvda da'aharon. Because we are acting like Aaron. We're following the footsteps of Aaron. Velo yaite bar Aaron l'shlam, and not the genealogical descendant of Aaron, delo avid uvda da'aron, who's not acting the way Aaron did. You understand what they said to him? And this is exactly the point, right, of the difference between the Rabbanut and the Mlacha, right? And that was between the superficials, between the you know, kind of the box and the contents of the box, as we've seen many times, but so important and so lacking. So often we, you know, this gets ignored. I'm saying nowadays, I don't know if it's a new phenomenon, but it's certainly, you know, living in our days, we certainly see this all the time. That Shmaya Vavtalion is saying, what's important is not whether we are genealogical descendants of some other nation, or whether we're the genealogical descendants of Aaron HaKohen, whether we come from the greatest Yichus, right, as you do, you are the Kohen Gadol, and you are a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, or whether we come from, no, we don't even come from Am Yisrael at all. That's not what's important. What's important, how we're acting. What's important is how we're behaving. And we went over to you and very nicely, you know, very respectfully wanted to take our leave of you. And you went and tried to insult us. So, you know, who is more important that you are the Kohen Gadol, that you have these, you know, you have this image, that you have this yichus, that you're able to trace your lineage back to Aaron HaKohen? It's more important to act like Aaron HaKohen than to be a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. Very, very important idea that is often lost nowadays.
Sure.
I'm very serious. Yeah, I am. I'm very serious.
It reminds me of the difference between how Yaakov and Esau went after who they were.
It is similar. It's a parallel idea. Yeah. So there's a Mishnah in Hariot that says, very famous Mishnah, that says that there's such a thing as Yichus, there's such a thing as, you know, different categories, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, right? It says, it's Kohen Gadol, it's a Kohen, Kohen called him Levi, Levi Yisrael, Yisrael L'Mamzer, Mamzer L'Tin, Nitin L'Ger, Ger L'Evim Shofar, Eimatai. However, when is that true? Bitzman Shekulam Shavim. It's true. If they are equal in terms of what they are and who they are, so then the Kohen comes before the Levi. The Levi comes before the Yisrael, right? You give the Kohen the first Aliyah. You have the Kohen lead Bir Karmazim, whatever it is. All things being equal, so Yichus plays a role. However, says the Mishnah, that's only Bikulam Shavim. But what's really important, right? In other words, that's if there you have to somehow determine who's going to go first, and everyone's equal, so fine. But Aval Im Haya Mamzer Talmud Chacham, but if the Mamzer, who's at the low rung of the Yichus ladder, is a Talmud Chacham, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol is an Ama Aretz, so then Mamzer, Talmud Chacham, Kodim, L'Kohen Gadol, Am Haaretz. Which is, of course, very similar to the idea of the story of Shmaya Naftali. What? But that's what Chazal say, and it's very important to be aware of that.
Yeah, these are all really related. It's not how society works.
That's why we need to learn. What do you mean?
I'm saying, to put this into practical society now. We don't know
anything. No, we're saying, so put it into practical society. I'm sorry, what do you want to say, Yael?
So, like, I was thinking, like, an invention case. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, you're like, oh, he's going to go first because he's better. You're just like, can you please, like...
Right, it looks... There is discussion.
You're supposed to do it Kohen first.
Right, so what Alicia's saying is important. It's actually, there are two... It's a very famous thing. There are two Rambams. Okay, there are two Rambams. One in Parash Mishnah and one in Mishnah Torah that say different things. Okay, the Rambam apparently changed his mind about this very issue. And there's a quite the Gemara in Gittin talks about the idea that, again, I'm not saying that in all cases we're going to apply this lemaisa, because there is a concept that, generally speaking, again, I'm oversimplifying, there is a discussion. See, what you're talking about is balancing two different values.
Therefore.
As a rule, what we do is that we don't have the Talmud Chacham get the first Aliyah. We have the Kohen get specifically so that there's not fighting and insulting and v'chule. In terms of what we do practically because of that value, absolutely, that is a consideration. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that a person should, you know, say, you know, I'm going to put him first. I'm not saying that. But what it is saying is that what I'm trying to bring out is not who you should have bench or get the first Aliyah, that type of thing, which, as you say correctly, involves more than one issue. And very often we have to balance different considerations. What I am saying is that it's very important in terms of what our values are and how we relate to people, how we judge people, how we, you know, think about things. It's very, very important. Okay? And it affects all kinds of things. It affects things that are, and we'll get to a concrete example in a few moments, okay? I'll give you a very real area in which it's very relevant. Okay, Seder, but hang with me for just a few moments, and you'll see. But in any case, but unfortunately, I mean, this is really the approach to find Chazal, and think about it for a moment. You look throughout Tanakh, okay, starting in Sefer Bereishit, and you see two very important points. Okay, and it's very important to take note. Do a survey of Tanakh. You know, go through all the people in Tanakh, and you'll see two things emerge. Number one is that whereas it's true that there are certain things in terms of how, you know, what we're born into that creates a certain presumption or a certain starting point. In other words, like things like, let's take an example of who the Bechor is in Sefer Bereishit, right? So the Bechor has an advantage. Halom Tetiv Se'ei. But Lamaisa, you look at all the characters in Bereishit, just as an example, okay? And more often than not, almost always, right? You look at the examples where we know where there's an issue, And although there's a presumption that the Bechor is going to be number one, almost always, that's not actually how it turns out, right? You think about all the cases, you look at Yitzhak and Yishmael, you look at Yaakov and Esav, right? You look at Yosef and his brother, you go straight down the line. The one who ends up with the real Bechora is very often not the firstborn, okay? So there's this balance between, you know, between, if you want, Yichus and substance, where in the end of the day, what's really most important is the substance, not the Yichus. That's number one. And number two is, and this is very, very important, there's an entire chapter about this in Yechezkel, and it's something that we find, but you just look at the phenomena, you see it throughout, just look through the genealogies, throughout Tanakh, you see this all the time. There are, you know, you can, there's a lot to discuss about, there are so many cases, it's commonplace, to have a tzaddik who's the son of a rasha, or a rasha who's the son, or a rasha who's the son of a tzaddik, right? And obviously, male and female cases, yeah, there are cases all over the place. There is no presumption. All I can say is if you think that there's a guarantee, there's an automatic assumption that because A is the son of B, that means that, you know, because A is great, so it's like that because B is great, that A is going to be great, doesn't follow at all, right? And many Mefarshim point out that it's very, very significant that Moshe Rabbeinu's children, right, do not become the leaders of the next generation. Right, we hear very little about Moshe Rabbeinu's sons. Can't have greater yichud than Moshe Rabbeinu's sons, right? But they don't become the leaders of the next generation. They don't take over when Moshe Rabbeinu dies. And that's really the way ideal is supposed to be. And unfortunately, it very often is not. And it creates all kinds of problems. Very often you have assumptions that because someone is the son of a god or the grandson, that it means that they are a tzaddik or a tam chacham. And I can tell you from personal experience, I know people who are literally rishon, who are children or grandchildren of mamash gedolei hador. It happens. It's very sad. It's very tragic. But to not understand and to like close your eyes to it and to say that I'm going to assume that they're a tzaddik, sometimes I've seen this with my own eyes. It can have terrible, terrible consequences when people make these assumptions. That doesn't mean that there isn't, that if a person gets the right things from it, right, there is such a thing as if a person is the child of a great person and they derive the right lessons, they take the opportunity to gain the right things from it, that's a wonderful thing. But on the other hand, it's not an automatic guarantee. And Chazal says very clearly, Lo Yerusha Hilach, it's not automatic. And you can look at the great Tanan, Amoram, Rishonim, and there are so many cases where you have people who are the children of a great Rishon or a great Akron, and they themselves were also great. There are certainly cases like that. But you also have cases of the greatest Rishonim who I would guarantee that if I were to mention the name of a particular Rishon, everyone in the room would recognize the name, and you wouldn't be able to tell me who their child was or anything about them. Case after case after case. Okay? Important to understand that. Right? It's important to understand that. Okay. So, and I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about here. Let's turn the page for a moment. Again, we're not going to do everything here, but I would like to do just two more sources here. The last two on the page, last two on side two. Okay, let's do the last two on side two. The Mishnah in Ediot. Wow, this is an unbelievable Mishnah. You've got to hear this Mishnah. Akavya ben Mahalalel. Okay, Akavya ben Mahalalel was arguably the Gadol Hador, certainly one of the Gadol Hador of his generation. Okay? And there's a lot to discuss about Akavya ben Mahalalel in general, but I'm not going to go into it right now, but I want to just point out one thing. When he was about to die, okay, with Mash, he was about to die, he was speaking to his son. His son had, you know, was with him as he was about to die. If we look at the next to last line, in the Mishnah Ediyot and Perakeh Mishnah Zayin. It says like this: Amar lo, middle of the line. Amar lo. So the son said to Akavi ben Mahalalel.
How do you spell that?
Akavi ben Mahalalel. I can't spell, you know, one syllable words. You want you know, it starts with an I. It's ayin kuf. Ayin kuf bet yud. Not possible with a yud or I. I think it's an al, but I wouldn't swear to it. Okay. Ben Mahalalel. Mahalalel is just like it sounds. Okay, anyhow. Mahalalel. Like mem, he, lamed, lamed. Mehal, aleph, lamed. Okay, I can't keep track. Anyhow. So Akavi Mahalalel. What? Yeah, he was one of the Tanan. He was one of the Tanan, but not just one of the Tanan. Not that that's not enough, but he was arguably the greatest of his generation. Which, if you know his story, you know why it is that you know there's empirical evidence that he was, if not the greatest, one of the greatest of his generation. But in any case, Akavi ben Mahalalel is about to die, and his son says to him, "Abba, Abba, pekod alai l'chaverecha." He had one last request from his father. Right here's his son. He's asking for a last request before the father dies. He says, please, before you die, he didn't say in those words, but he said, but the implication was, before you die, please put in a good word for me. Right? Put in a good word for me to your friends. Akavi ben Mahalalel's friends were the leaders of the generation. Right? These were the other times. He said, put in a good word for me. And nope. Father doesn't want, you know, put a good word for their child. I mean, b'simcha, right? So, amar lo eini mafkid. So, his father said, no, I'm not going to do it. So, the son was very taken aback. And amar lo, shema ila matzata bi? Is there something I did wrong? Is there some fault you saw in me? Is there some reason why you feel uncomfortable saying something good about me to your friends? You think that, I mean, maybe there's something that I need to know about that you feel that there's something wrong with how I act. Amar lei lav. He said, no, there's nothing. I don't have any complaints. But, says Akavi ben Mahalalel, listen to the last four words. Ma'asecha yikarvucha u'ma'asecha yirachakucha. Right? Your own actions will bring you closer, will bring you further away. In other words, you have to be judged on your own actions. I'm not going to put in a good word for you. You can't be judged based on who your father is. You have to be judged based on your own actions. It's who you are and what you do that's important, not who your father was. Isn't that unbelievable? That's not something he was saying in theory, right? That's, you know, as a nice... Man, she's about to die and his son says, put in a good word for me, just say something nice to your friends for me. Kaim Mal says, no, I'm sorry, that's not how it works. Masecha, you're... Yikarvucha, masecha, yirachakucha. I agree. It's a beautiful Mishnah. One last source, and with that we're going to conclude our discussion. And I think that the context of this point is particularly important, and saying about practical ramifications, not that the point of this was, we're not learning Mishnah Berurah, we're trying to understand hashkafa, way of looking at things, way of understanding things, approaching things in life, which is in many ways, you know, at least as lamaisa. But there is a very practical area in which I think there are many, but there's one in particular that I want to mention, and to mention a particular source that I think is a very, very beautiful shot. One of the great mefarshim of Tanakh, the Akedat Yitzhak, Rav Yitzhak Arma, the Akedat Yitzhak in his parish on Megillat Rut says the following pshat. It says in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ata biti al tir'i. Right? Boaz, the famous scene in the silo, Boaz and Rut, and Rut. Rut asks Boaz to marry her. And that's basically the pshat. Tzuk, Mary Farah, Stak, Nafecha, Amatecha, Ki Goel Ata. Which I mentioned before, my wife's favorite pasuk. But anyhow, after Ruth says this, Boaz responds and says, "Vata biti." And this is not the beginning of the response, but he says, "Vata biti al tiri kol asher tomri e'eselach." He says, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to do all that you have said to me." kiyodea kol shar ami ki eshet chayelat. Okay, because all of the people of my nation know that you're an eshet chayel. So what was she afraid of, and what was Boaz reassuring her about? So says the Akedah Yitzhak. Okay, Akedah Yitzhak was a contemporary of the Abarbanel, learned together at a certain point. A very important farsh in his own right. So he says like this. He says that Boaz was the leader. He was the gadol. He was from Shevet Yehuda. She was the ultimate miyuchas in Am Yisrael at that time, in terms of position, in terms of, you know, prestige, in terms of where he came from. And Rut was a giyart from Moab. Where some giyart, Bnei Yisrael are not allowed to intermarry with Moab. Right? So we have an exception or a limitation of Moaviv alo Moavit. He's kind of from Moab. And she has zero yichus, and Boaz has it to the hilt. So Rut is afraid that Boaz is not going to want to marry her. So what does Boaz answer? Va'ata biti altari, don't be afraid. What are you talking about? That's not what's important. What's important is who you are. And kol asher tomri aselach. Of course I want to marry you. Why? Ki yodea kol shar ami ki esha chayelat. That's the response of Boaz, as explained by the Akedah Yitzhak. It's really the Pashpshah and what's going on in the Pesukim, I think. But in any case, certainly important, even just as a comment of the Akedah Yitzhak, and certainly consistent with all the sources in Chazal that we've seen over the course of the last few moments. So, I think it's a tragic thing that in some circles people are blinded in both directions by very superficial things, incredibly superficial things, and I mean sometimes not to be believed. One of those superficial things, one of a whole constellation of them, and that's Hashem lot. We've discussed some. We will discuss some. Over the course of time, this is one of them. Not to say that I'm not claiming that there's no such concept of ki hu zeh, but it is so blown out of proportion and so misused, abused, misunderstood, you name it, becomes such a thing that people are blinded again. Tov ulara, my tov ulara. I mean, I shouldn't say tov ulara. It's not accurate. It's not what I really mean. I mean, in both directions. That sometimes will be, considers, think that someone is so eligible because of their yichus, when in terms of who they are, that they're just not. And lehefa, where the person doesn't have yichus, so they don't value who that person is themselves. And I think that that's not what Torah teaches us. I think it's very important to understand that.